Welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a project of KCBX and its program hosts. Today, Dr. Mario Espinoza-Kulik speaks with Amalia Jimenez-Chavez, coordinator of the Aim to Dream Center at Allen Hancock College. They'll be discussing factors impacting undocumented students' ability to achieve their academic and personal goals amidst a changing political climate. Our program is recorded today, but we do invite you to send any follow-up questions that you might have from this conversation to voices@kcbx.org. And with that, now let's join Mario and his guest. Over to you, Mario.
Good afternoon and welcome. My name is Dr. Mario Espinoza-Kulik, and you're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX. Today, we'll be exploring the experiences of undocumented students in higher education. With the anticipated policy shifts following the recent election, many leaders are planning how we, as a community, can offer our support. Joining us is Amalia Jimenez-Chavez, the coordinator for the Aim to Dream Center at Allen Hancock College. This initiative is dedicated to assisting undocumented students in achieving their academic and personal goals. Welcome to the show, Amalia.
Hi, thank you for having me today. I appreciate you.
We also appreciate you. So I wanted to get started by getting to know you a little bit better and for our listeners to also get to know what you do. So if you wanted to share, please, a bit about your background and what led you to your current role.
I came to Santa Maria, California at the age of two as a toddler from Guanajuato, Mexico. My mother migrated with both my sister, who was a couple months old, and my brother, who was five, back in 89. So I've grown up in Santa Maria practically my whole life. I went to local schools here. My education comes from our local schools. Santa Maria High. I graduated from Santa Maria High in 2004. I went off to study criminal justice and criminology from Sonoma State University, got my bachelor's from there in 2009, and moved back home shortly after graduating. My parents, I think, expected that of myself, being the oldest female in the family. I did have a lot of expectations and responsibilities here at home. Also given the fact that my mom had empty nest syndrome and ended up having two more children after I left for college. So I became second mom to those kids after moving back home. And later in life, became a paralegal, was a paralegal for a good 5 years with a local attorney. Ended up venturing off, decided that was it for me, even though I loved my clients and had a very strong connection to my community through my clients. I loved the fact that I was able to educate them on their rights. A lot of our community members do not know what their rights are, and I love that part of my job. It just didn't work out for me, and I was venturing for something different. So I ended up applying at Hancock, forgot I applied at Hancock, and ended up getting an interview randomly right before Christmas on 2022. Went to my interview, left that interview thinking it's just another interview, got a call back, and ended up working here right before Christmas. And I was the secretary, or as we call it here, the office service technician, for about a year, almost 2 years, before the current, the previous coordinator took on a job as the assistant director of undocumented students at UCSB, became the interim, and worked very hard during interim, taking on that role. I decided to interview for the position, and I just got it October 16th officially. So okay. I've been in this position just a couple months.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you.
And were you familiar with the work that they did prior to applying?
Oh, of course. I was the coordinator's right-hand lady, and so I knew exactly what this entailed. Not completely. When I jumped in here, I was just in awe of all the work that she did. And herself does and continues to do amazing work with our undocumented students at UCSB and continues to work with our students here. She's still being very active with our students, and I love that, and her passion just definitely rubbed off on me.
That's great. And since UCSB is pretty close to Allen Hancock College, is there like a sort of a partnership or collaborations that go on between the two entities?
Yes, especially given the fact that a lot of our students transfer to UCSB. So I have that connection with Hema Garcia, and she works actively with our students and is constantly, I make that connection to students. I recently spoke to a student who we made that connection with, and she is very happy to have someone, a familiar face, over there at UCSB, because it can be scary for our students.
I hear that. And what inspires your passion for supporting undocumented students?
Being an undocumented child, and at 7 years old, I think knowing that being undocumented, in a sense, was kind of ingrained in my mind as not being a good thing, I think that's where my passion comes from, knowing what it feels like to not have the same opportunities as everybody else, having to feel like you have to constantly prove yourself, and feeling like I constantly felt like imposter syndrome was a part of my life. And so knowing that, I just don't want my students to go through some of the situations that I went through. And if I can somehow either advise or become a part of their lives and make that situation easier, that makes me happy. That makes me fulfilled as a person.
And what are those challenges that undocumented students face today?
A lot of our students are eager to work or eager to help their families. And that's really hard to do when you don't have a social security number. And a lot of our students, I think there's a misconception that they're just asking for a handout, but a lot of our students actually work the fields during the summer and the winter breaks if they can, just to help at home and to save some money up so that they can buy books, so that they can buy their basic day-to-day necessities. And they want to be able to self-support themselves. And that's one of the major questions that we have here. I'm able to support them through a program called DSIG. It's an internship program that is amazing. They do 300 hours. They get paid a stipend after they've completed. But it's sometimes not enough, and not all my students can do that because you have to be able to qualify for Cal Grants.
Right. And is that different for undocumented students?
It is different. Well, they have to be able to qualify for financial aid. So they have to have filed an application for the DREAM Act, and they have to be able to qualify for AB 540, which is a waiver, an out-of-state waiver fee.
Right. And that's not something that students that are documented have to do as well, or is that different?
No, students that qualify for FAFSA don't have to qualify for AB 540.
I hear that. And so your perspectives from your own experience as an undocumented student help inform how you navigate these challenges with your students today?
Yes, I was an undocumented child, and I knew what ICE was. I knew what La Migra was growing up. And it definitely has shaped the way that I think about students, the way that I connect with them, which is really important. I've noticed that earning their trust is huge. Most of them are not willing to open up about challenges or needs if they don't trust me. So developing that trust with the students and making sure that I make them feel comfortable. It's one of my biggest purposes here is to create that safe space. And I have to be able to let them know that they can trust me. And my story resonates with what they may currently be going through. So it it definitely helps. My story definitely helps to earn their trust.
I appreciate you telling your story. As somebody who grew up in a mixed status family, those challenges, although I didn't experience them directly, seeing how my friends and how my family member navigated just, I think, creates this sense of empathy that I don't know that many people understand unless they're in the same position.
Can
you tell me what you find the most rewarding about your position?
When I see them graduating, we have a lot of success stories. I have one in mind specifically. We have a student who worked the fields, spoke no English when he first started. He started in non-credit, ended up moving into credit, earned his way to getting his associates spring of 2023. He is now finishing up at Fresno State and will be graduating soon.
Wow. Congratulations to him. Well, the other things that I wanted to ask you about was more how does it take a network or like they say, a village to do this work as well with other staff and faculty and students?
Of course. What I do when I first meet a student, I do, since I am the only full-time faculty staff here in the center, when I meet with a student that I have not met with and I don't know their situation, I look into their report and I check other things because they may be missing something that they are not aware of. They may not be able to see in their student dashboard. So I take a look. I make connections with them and other staff members if they may need something that's missing. A lot of the students don't even know that they have Cal Grants and that they can access that money to be an intern, to do other programs as well. So I make sure that I check off my boxes with every single student that I meet with. Just in case that we are missing something that they may not be aware of, and so it's a lot of work on my end, and it's making a lot of connections. Also following up, that's huge as part of my work, is following up with the student. I know that they may be going through tough situations at home and doing school all at the same time, and things may slip, so I always make sure that I check in with the student. Did you go to financial aid? Did you go to cashiers? Just to make sure that they don't leave anything out.
Nice. And I remember there being like signs like I'm an ally for undocumented students and things like that. Are those still visible for students to see, or like how do people go about becoming an ally for undocumented students?
Yes. So during Undocumented Week, we had monarch butterflies printed for everybody that was interested in having them being posted on their department or their office. So we did have an ally training with one of my amazing colleagues who is the supervisor at the Cantrio program. And we handed those out, and we handed them out throughout Undocumented Week that took place in October. And a lot of our departments do have them posted in their offices or in their departments that say, I support undocumented students.
And why is that important for students and college campuses?
It's important because I think it's a welcoming door. It's a welcoming space, and they know that they are safe, and they know that the people that are within those departments, within those offices, understand that their barriers are much different than other students. And knowing that and creating that space for them makes them feel welcomed and unafraid in most cases.
I'm Dr. Mario Espinoza-Kulik with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, your Central Coast listener-supported radio station. As we continue, Central Coast Voices, our guest today is Amalia Jimenez-Chavez, coordinator of the Aim to Dream Center at Allen Hancock College. We've been getting to know them a little better and hearing about their work. Thanks for sharing your insights with us, Amalia.
Thank you for having me.
In this next section, we'll focus on the Aim to Dream Center and its mission to support undocumented students. We've talked about the vibe and what allyship is for students and sort of some of the things that you do. But if you could please highlight some of those services that your center provides for students.
Of course. Our center is divided into two parts. The AIM part of it is a fund to support the students that are transitioning from non-credit to credit. So we support them with paying for two classes up to 6 units per semester, and they do have to qualify for this program. They get referred to by a non-credit counselor, and then we help them by providing also pre-reg dates so that they can get the classes that they need, and we also pay for their books. And then the center itself is the space, the safe space where students can come in, and our center is open for any student. You don't have to be undocumented or immigration impacted to be able to use our services here. We have free printing. They're able to do their homework here. We're open Mondays and Tuesdays till 6. We understand that students have classes late, so it is a hangout spot for students. They come relax here. We have a couch. They can come hang out. Recently, we had a Mario Kart battle here with the students on a Switch. So it's a space that they can also come and de-stress. We have snacks throughout almost every department on campus. We have snacks that we provide for students, and we make sure that they are filled thanks to our career center that provides those snacks for us. And they're able to come hang out. And we have a tutor here. One of our student workers is a tutor in English and math. It just depends on the type of math that the student is taking. We provide book vouchers depending on the funding that we have in our center. We have book lending program. We lend books to students that they don't have to buy them. A lot of our books are donated by previous students, and most of these books are used almost every semester for the same classes, so it kind of helps. We do have a hotspot lending program, so we let students borrow hotspots so that they are able to have internet connection at home and able to use to do their homework at home. And then currently we are working on purchasing laptops so that we can lend laptops to our students. I know that the college itself has a lending program, but they run out every single semester very fast. So I want to be able to provide a couple more laptops for our students here that frequently visit our center. We also have a lot of culturally inspired events. We recently celebrated Dia de los Muertos, and it's just a way to create a homey environment for students. We had an altar, we had a live singer, we had churros, pan dulce, champurrado for students to enjoy. We also celebrate Undocu Week in October. It's a week-long events and workshops to give visibility and awareness for our undocumented student body. And we also have the Dream Club. Dream Club is a club that's student run. I am the co-advisor for the club. Our Dean of Student Services, Ivonne Teniente, is the advisor. And our Dream Club fundraises, and the purpose of fundraising for the Dream Club is to provide scholarships at the end of the school year. So around May, we have a big graduation celebration where we award our new AIM students, and we also hand out cultural sashes to anybody that's interested in having one and walking down graduation with their cultural sarape sash. And we award students that are transferring as well if they want to be a part of graduation, and we give out, last year I think we gave out 6 different scholarships, 3 to current students and 3 for students that were transferring, and the Dream Club helps fundraise for all of that.
That's amazing work. That sounds like such a necessary safety net for students at Hancock College.
It is, yes.
What are some of the things that students are saying about the center and just the experience overall?
The students really like the vibe here. It's always very, very chill for students. Sometimes we'll have a movie playing. We'll have food here. The students love to come hang out and do their homework here, especially since a lot of the students do take the same classes together. So it's a place to come hang out and do your homework or something. We have donuts here. And so it's the space itself that is so welcoming that they love to spend their time here. And I think that I pride myself on with my student workers that we've created that for students.
Yeah, and I do understand that for undocumented students, the experience being in college is not quite traditional.
Right.
And that includes maybe students with children or having families or their families being involved in college. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to ask, how do you see that show up in your work with being inclusive of students and their families?
Yes, we've also created a small area for games. Sometimes we do have single parents have to bring their children here. So we have a space where children can color, can play a little game, just so that we can help the parent while they're here and make the time that they are here a little bit easier. Me as a mom, I understand that my kids, after some time, lose interest in sitting quietly. So I understand that we do need to help our parents that do have to have their children around, create that space for them as well. And we've done that with the coloring, and our staff is fully trained to provide that, not like a babysitter, but to be able to offer a snack for the kids, to be able to say, hey, you want to color? And our staff is also bilingual. So I know that most of the students, especially our non-credit students, feel most comfortable speaking their native language, which for the most part is Spanish. So our staff is very welcoming in that sense. Some of our students feel very safe and comfortable coming in here and asking their questions in Spanish.
That sounds amazing. The strategies that you're talking about, I think, are very vital to support students in general. But specifically for non-credit students, are there other strategies that you employ for inspiring students to move to credit classes to earn a degree?
Yes, we are constantly mentioning our AIM program and how our AIM program has been a program that has positively helped students get associate's degrees and eventually qualify for AB 540 and then qualifying for financial aid and what that looks like. We do have students that are inspired by those stories that si se puede, that you can become someone who gets an associate's even if you are just here to learn English and eventually you change that route. That educational route, it just depends on the student. We also provide a language learning application called Rosetta Stone. And so a lot of our non-credit students come in looking for that, that inspiration to want to learn outside of the classroom, I think, is very inspirational. And we're able to provide that at no cost to students. We are limited to a couple licenses per year. We do pay out of, I think, a budget. It's very expensive, but we are happy to be able to provide that service to our non-credit students.
That's amazing. The things that I would think about for the inspiration, right? Like I think about it because my mom, she's a non-credit ESL classes at Santa Barbara City College, and she re-enrolls every semester in a non-credit class, but I'm not sure, mm-hmm. She's been taking English classes for like 3 years now, and I just think that there's just a different pacing for students in those programs.
Yes, and it's a beautiful thing to see, and we do hear it a lot. We hear the older folks say, I'm older, I'm more mature, but I'm here. And we constantly support them and tell them, you know, it might take some time, but you can do it, and you can learn English, and you can better yourself and learn new things. And we are constantly helping here with basic things such as accessing their email, their dashboard, teaching them how to do that, teaching them how to print a job, teaching them how to type. It's something that it takes a lot of patience, but we see the positive outcome of doing the simple things.
And I can see how the work that you do inspires students to dream. So really fulfilling mm-hmm. the name of your center.
Yes. Yes. And it does start with a dream. I myself can say that. It started with a dream, and I always knew that I wanted to give back to my community, and that was the sector that I wanted to be a part of. And now being in this position, I think that I'm living my dream job.
That's really great to hear. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Are there new initiatives or programs that your center plans to offer?
Not recently. There's been talks of possibly additional training for myself, given the outcome of the election, just to be better prepared on what to do in certain situations. I do have a very strong connection with the UFW attorneys, which provide free legal services for our students. So we recently had a workshop on what to do in the case that ICE may show to your door, may pull you over, any situation that a student may have. We do have what we call red cards. Red cards are a script of what to say in any given case. I just think that I'm mentally preparing myself for certain situations, as it is my job to continue to create the safe space for my students and create a safe state of mind as well. So we do have mental health services that we have here for students that we provide, and I refer students to, because I know that sometimes they don't want to open up to myself, and I'm perfectly okay with referring to the professionals.
Yeah, and speaking of those professionals, are there community groups that your center works with and makes those referrals to that serve immigrant students?
Not yet, but I do plan on making connections, as I know I have a couple friends that work in the community and do that type of work. We do have community-based programs listed. We do have a bulletin board in which we put all of our community resources, and we share a lot of the resources, not just within our center and our bulletin, but also on our Instagram. We're very big on our Instagram because we do have somewhat of a following. So anything that I find that I know is going to be very useful for our students, then I am always willing to share. I'm always willing to provide scholarships, any resources that I know our students can take advantage of.
Yeah, and for other things that I was thinking about for Aim to Dream, there's this distinction of students that are undocumented and documented, and I wanted mm-hmm. to ask if you could give us some insight on what that means.
So what it means to be documented?
Yeah.
So our students that consider themselves documented are students that are currently have a work permit through the backup program, and those are the students that continue to renew as they are able to renew their DACA. Currently, we know that it is being challenged in the courts, and we're still waiting on an outcome to see what that is going to look like to our documented students. We do support them with the free legal services through the UFW to renew their DACAs. And also apply for advanced parole. So the students that do come in and ask about renewing, we make the connection as far as just creating the appointment. I legally can't intervene any further other than making the appointment.
We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back on Central Coast Voices. Welcome back to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Dr. Mario Espinosa-Kulik. Our guest today is Amalia Jimenez-Chavez, coordinator of the Aim to Dream Center at Allen Hancock College. The political climate surrounding immigration is shifting, and we can expect to see multiple changes from the incoming administration. For students, some of the most important policies are the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, or DACA, which currently protects approximately 535,000 individuals from deportation, and the Temporary Protected Status Programs, potentially affecting nearly 1 million people. For students, documentation status can impact eligibility for financial aid, job opportunities, and scholarships, as we've heard on our show today. Amalia, how do you expect the changing political environment affecting undocumented students on the Central Coast?
A lot of our students are either undocumented or they come from mixed status families. So the separation of families to them is very real. It is very daunting. And to our DACA students, I know that being in the limbo has mentally and physically just kept them on edge. And that's not a positive way to be all the time. So I know that it's very stressful. I can see the political climate definitely being very heavy, and them needing a little bit more support than usual. We personally don't see DACA surviving, which is very sad. I know a lot of people that have benefited from DACA, and I don't see any harm with having DACA and the opportunities that everybody has been given. So it weighs very heavy on our students currently, more than ever. I know that the climate here, the morale was very low after election. So the beautiful part of it is the coming together, especially in our center. We saw a lot of people stop by. And sometimes it wasn't even what they said. It was the camaraderie and giving each other a hug. And that just meant a lot. And more than ever, I think that we are ready to come a lot closer and be a bigger support. And we see the allyship that came out of this election, And for me, I like to see the positive things in everything. And I think that for me was very beautiful to see, to witness, to live it.
It's good to hear that there's an amount of hope that is being struck with, mm-hmm. with your students.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do see it still to the day. We're holding on to hope. We're holding on to positivity. And regardless of the outcome, it seems we always overcome and we always find a way. And that's where allyship is just super important for our center.
Are the conversations that students are having now a little bit different than they were having during the last time the Trump administration was in office?
I wouldn't be able to say as the last time he was in office. I was not on campus. From what I've heard from colleagues is that it feels like students are more scared now than before. It sounds like we took the same initiatives to make sure that our pride, well, now we have a pride center, which I'm very excited to share. But we have people on standby at our pride center and our non-credit department and here at the Dream Center, just in case we saw anything out of the norm after election. And they did the same thing at the previous election of President Trump. And it seemed from what I heard that it was more somber this time. It was quiet, and I felt that too. I mean, I can't compare it to the previous time, but it definitely was very quiet.
I can see that, and I can definitely feel that this time around as well. Are there conversations happening across the campus of how maybe folks can be in solidarity with your center and your undocumented students?
Not yet, but I know it's bound to happen. I automatically, in a matter of days, put together a workshop to make sure that our students knew what their rights were. So we did bring the UFW attorney representative on campus, because I think that I can tell the students what their rights are all day, every day. But when it comes to the professionals, the attorneys, the people that are working with immigration impacted communities all day, every day, it just sounds different. And so I wanted to make sure that our students knew their rights and are aware that they do have rights, that everybody's got rights, and that they can defend themselves even with knowing that and feel somewhat of a peace of mind.
Do you have one of those cards handy with you?
Let me see. Yes, I do.
I was going to ask if you wouldn't mind sharing to our listeners what those cards say.
So these were created by the UFW, and they are in English and Spanish. And it says, "I do not wish to speak with you, answer your questions, or sign or hand you any documents based on my Fifth Amendment rights under the United States Constitution. I do not give you permission to enter my home based on the Fourth Amendment rights under the United States Constitution unless you have a warrant to enter signed by a judge or magistrate with my name on it that you slide under the door. I do not give you permission to search any of my belongings based on my Fourth Amendment rights. I choose to exercise my constitutional rights."
And have these cards, this sounds like it could potentially save a life or help people come out of a mm-hmm. sticky situation.
Yes.
Have you heard any stories or any anybody who's maybe used this card to feel protected?
Thankfully, no. I have not. I'm very grateful to our allies that attended this workshop and took cards with them to distribute to students that happened to come into their departments and voice a concern. So we ask students, keep this in your wallet, keep this in your car. And so we do have a lot of allies that took tons of these cards, and I still have a lot to distribute here in the center as well.
So if anybody needs a card, they can go to the Aim to Dream Center to pick one up.
Of course.
Amazing. I'm Dr. Mario Espinosa-Kulik with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, your listener-supported radio station. If you recently joined us for today's Central Coast Voices and want to listen to the entire broadcast, you can. It will be available on our website at www.kcbx.org under the On Demand tab. Click on Central Coast Voices and you will find the show and many others to choose from. You can also find us by searching Central Coast Voices wherever you get your podcasts. Our guest today is Amalia Jimenez-Chavez, coordinator of the Aim to Dream Center at Allen Hancock College. To learn more from the Aim to Dream Center, you can explore their website online at www.hancockcollege.edu/aimtodream. They are also on Instagram at AHC Dream Club. As we approach the end of our discussion, let's talk about how our listeners can engage with this work and connect with the ongoing efforts to support immigrant students and their families. Amalia, are there any actions that community members or parents or friends can take to support undocumented students?
Of course. I think it's constantly lifting morale, letting students know not to be scared, letting our community know not to be scared, that we all have rights. Supporting our Dream Club, following our Instagram, sharing that information with students, with neighbors, with the primos, the family. I will be working on a production called Sanctuary City with our local PCPA. They're allowing me to give my input on that play, and I will be providing outside a means or a way to have our community that come see the play, support our Dream Club in supporting our undocumented student scholars with scholarships. So hopefully we're able to fundraise enough money to give more scholarships. I work very closely with the Mexican consulate. Also, they provide a scholarship for our students. So I think supporting your students, letting them know that education is something that nobody can take from you. My dad always told us that. And education is very powerful. Education is how we make change. And so staying in school, I know it's not easy, and the trip is not going to be easy, but it's definitely worth it. It definitely changed my life, and it keeps enriching my life in very different aspects of it. I continue to learn, and we never stop learning. So education is key, and supporting our students is definitely essential.
Yes, education is very important. And my father also instilled that in me as well, just that education was an opportunity we couldn't pass up.
Mm-hmm.
Are there opportunities for folks to volunteer for your center?
Of course, especially in our events. Our events require a lot of work, a lot of preparation. We recently made piñatas here in the center. We will be celebrating a posada cultural for our students as a means of a distressor right before finals. We're about to hit finals very soon next week. So, yeah, anybody that's willing to come and participate in the events, especially the Dream Club events where we fundraise, it is a lot of work for our students. It does take sometimes requesting donations. If we can get donations for the stuff that we sell, that's super amazing. We get a lot of support from our president's office. Our president's office did pay for a lot of the things that we did for our Dia de los Muertos. So we appreciate everybody that's ever supported us and shown allyship. Lending a helping hand definitely helps. In the spring, we celebrate Dia de los Niños. So we celebrate our kids, our faculty's kids, our students' kids, and they come and they celebrate and they have all these activities. So we're constantly looking for volunteers to help with the events.
And for the donations, is there any information you can give our listeners who are interested in making donations to the Aim the Dream Center?
I would say come to our center. We're always taking donations. If you have stuff for kids that we can keep here to keep kids entertained, we're always willing to take those donations. We don't do anything for Christmas. I think that maybe we can do something for Christmas, possibly in the future. We're always willing to take donations of snacks for students. That's always our big thing is they come in here looking for a snack. I know some of our students may not have money in their pockets to buy some lunch. So they rely on our snacks to keep them down until they go home.
And I heard you mention the play with the PCPA called Sanctuary City.
Yes. Yes.
Do you have more information in terms of when that might be?
I believe it will be roughly about March. March is the showings.
Cool. We'll keep an eye out for that, definitely.
Thank you.
What advice would you give to someone who's looking to advocate for undocumented students within our community?
I would say stay positive. Staying positive has definitely helped me help my students. And I love what I do. And a good ally, I believe, is constantly educating themselves to be able to educate others. I stay on top of the news. I stay on top of the news with DACA. I stay on top of immigration reform. I stay on top of anything that I know my students may be affected by. I let them know. So just staying educated, I believe, is fairly important. It's always keeping our students informed that I think, for the most part, helps letting them know. Because I think that a lot of our students get the news from social media. And that may also affect mental health because it's not always positive news or even real news. So I think just keeping up to date.
Is there any misinformation that students or our listeners might need to be aware of, so that they don't that they get the right news? What outlets would they look for, or is there anything that you'd like to say that to dispel any false misconceptions?
Yeah, I just don't think that being an immigrant is a problem, and that's how it is being portrayed. That we are the problem to a lot of other problems. We as people are very resilient, and I think that we're dehumanized in a sense. And keeping our students aware we are human, we have rights, we are good people. It's the way that we are portrayed, especially sometimes in social media, that puts a very negative light on our community. And for the most part, there's bad people in every single community, and we don't, we're not all like that. Especially our community here in Santa Maria. I am very proud to be a part of this community and the kinds of people that I run into on a daily basis. And I wish that we were more seen as the hardworking, the resilient, the strong, the beautiful gente that we are.
I agree, and I wholeheartedly with what you just said. Are there any more affirmations that you'd like to give to our community of undocumented students and families?
Yes. Our students are so talented, and I'm so proud of what they bring here to the center. And more people need to be aware of they're not just undocumented students. They are students who have dreams, big dreams, that long to do what any other student wants to do, and that's get their education, get a good paying job, and be able to prosper. And that's what most of our students look like. And we are not bad people, and hopefully everybody can see that the way that I see them. I want people to see our students the way that I see them through my eyes.
That was beautiful. And I just want to say to everybody listening to not give up, no se rinden, si se puede. You all can. And I'll turn it over now to our guests to share anything that we might not have gotten to today. Is there anything you'd like to add, Amalia?
I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for this space. I want to thank you for allowing me to pour my heart into this interview, because I do come here every day with my whole heart, and sometimes it is broken with my students and their stories, but I have become very strong because of them. They just have so much to give, and I have definitely learned a lot from them, and I think that our community and our world has a lot to learn from them as well.
Thank you, Amalia. And I just want to say that I learned so much from you today, and I know our listeners also benefited from hearing the words that you have to say today, and the work that you do touches so many lives in our community, especially in Santa Maria. I can't believe the immense amount of love that is poured into the work that you do. It just creates our community to be more of a safe space. And I think that's what we need right now.
Yes, camaraderie. We really need to come together in trying times just like the ones that we're currently living. And who knows what January will look like. So it's coming together as a whole.
And in terms of finals week, are there any other events coming up for your center that folks that might be listening could be interested in maybe attending?
Other than the posada, I think that as far as programming, we are done for the semester. We start planning for next semester. Just a lot of de-stressors. We make sure that we have comfort food here for students. Not every day. Our budget doesn't allow us for every day, but at least a couple of days out of the week we'll have comfort food. We play Nintendo Switch here at the center. We have Mario Kart battles just to kind of get their minds off of anything that may be going on at home or the stresses of finals itself. I, as a previous student, know what that's like. And then having food to remind me that I have to eat, I think, is very important. I would forget to eat from time to time because I was so caught up in studying. So having the food here and having something to do other than study definitely helps our students.
And where is the Aim the Dream Center located on campus?
We are located in Building K, 11C. We belong to Student Services, but we're just a little separated from where all Student Services are. But we are in K, 11C.
Thank you again. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
To learn more from the Aim to Dream Center, you can explore their website online at www.hancockcollege.edu/aimtodream. They are also on Instagram at AHC Dream Club. Thanks, Amalia Jimenez-Chavez, coordinator of the Aim to Dream Center at Allen Hancock College.
Thank you.
We hope you'll join us next time on Central Coast Voices for our show on Thursday, October 10th at 1 p.m. with host Fred Monroe and his guests from the Court-Appointed Special Advocates Program, also known as CASA. Central Coast Voices is co-produced by our host in collaboration with KCBX and with support from the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo. We depend on folks like you to continue these programs, so please consider donating today or become a member with your monthly donation online at www.kcbx.org. I'm your host, Dr. Mario Espinosa-Kulik. Thank you for joining us.